We're going to jump right in today. Today we're going through the book of Joshua. So we're going through the entire book. And last 2 weeks ago, we talked about remembering what we came from. And it's pretty cool. We had somebody bring notebooks. I talked about writing down and remembering what the Lord has brought you out of as you go forward. And so Kaylee felt so inclined to bring notebooks today and laid them on the table out in the foyer. So if you don't have a notebook and you're not keeping notes of what the Lord has done in your life, there's a free notebook on the table for you. For the first, how many people? There's 50 of them. So grab yourself a notebook and start recording the things that the Lord has done in your life. I want to start this morning by asking a question. Have you ever known God called you to something, but then it felt like he was holding you back? Have you ever been certain that he called you to something, but at the same time, it seemed like he wasn't releasing you to step into it? Anybody? I know I'm not the only one. We've got a few hands up this morning. He paused us right where we're at, even though that we are ready to move forward. And so I'll just share my story because I know my story the best. When I was 12 years old, I had someone first speak over me that the Lord was calling me to ministry. At 12 years old, you don't know how to digest that. You don't understand it. But it's something that never left. It's something that I could never shake. And I didn't actually give my life over to Christ. I didn't surrender my life to Christ until right here in this church of October of 2008. Due to a friend that continued to pester me to get to church. Sean Noel, for those that know him. And that's when everything changed. I immediately went through all 3 years of the Iowa School of Ministry, ready to apply for credentials. But one thing was missing. And for those that are Pentecostal, you'll understand, baptism in the Holy Spirit was the thing that I could not check as having received that. And so over the years, I waited, I wrestled, I doubted what the Lord was calling me to. If you've ever been on a journey where the Lord has paused you because you're not ready, there's emotions that happen. You start questioning, did I hear the Lord right? Did I do this right? Lord, I'm mad at you. I can't believe you're doing this to me. It's a journey. And would you know, it's the journey that the Lord was taking me through. It wasn't because the Lord was punishing me. It was because he was preparing me. He was preparing me to step into ministry. And on July 13th of 2021, I received baptism in the Holy Spirit. I immediately started my application process with the district for credentials. By then, the Lord just hadn't trained me. He hadn't just prepared me. He marked my heart for the ministry, for the people, and for this church. And I share all of this to say, not because I want to bring light on myself, but because sometimes God will delay the battle that you're about to walk through, not because he doesn't love you, but because he's still forming something in you. Who can testify? The Lord builds us up. And so before we fight our Jericho, if you know the story of Joshua, we are getting ready to march into Jericho and to march around the city to see the walls brought down. And before we fight Jericho, God calls us to renew our commitment. And so today's title of this message is Renewed Commitment. And so that's what he did with Israel in Joshua chapter 5. So last week, they crossed, they're ready, they're looking back, they set up a memorial of stones so they could remember for generations that the Lord brought them into the promised land. They were getting ready to go and take over the city of Jericho, but before they marched, before they shouted, before the walls fell, the Lord said to them, I want your hearts first. And I believe the Lord is saying to somebody here this morning, I want your heart first. I want your heart. So before the battle comes, there's surrender. There's surrender. If you have your Bible this morning, would you open it to Joshua chapter 5? If not, it'll be on the screen here in a moment. It is kind of a weird story, but listen, you're just going to have to bear with me because this is what the Lord's leading us to. So Israel had just literally crossed over the Jordan on dry ground. So the Lord told the priest to take the ark into the waters, and when they got into the waters, that he would stop up the water so Israel could cross across dry ground. And so they just crossed over into the promised land. But before Jericho, before he releases them to go into Jericho, he hits the pause button. Here's why he hit the pause button. Parents, I'm sorry, you may have to talk to your kids. The men had not yet been circumcised. They had the promise, but they didn't have the mark of belonging. See, God was aligning their hearts before giving them victory. He was bringing their hearts together before he would walk them in to victory. And we also are going to see that they celebrated the Passover, and they ate of the produce of the land, of the promised land. And because they got to take part of the meal of the promised land, we're going to see that the manna stopped. For 40 years, the Lord provided manna daily for Israel. So what we see taking place here is a new season. A new season is Israel is stepping into. And this moment reminds us that God prepares his people spiritually before he gives them victory publicly. Let me repeat that. God prepares his people spiritually before he gives them victory publicly. Let's get into our scripture this morning. Joshua chapter 5, verses 2 through 12. It says this, "At that time the Lord said to Joshua, 'Make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time.' So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the males of the people who came out of Egypt, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. Though all the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all the people who were born on the way in the wilderness after they had come out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. The Lord swore to them that he would not let them see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it was their children whom he raised up in their place that Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. When the circumcising of the whole nation was finished, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. And so the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land. And they were no longer, and there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." What we just read may seem odd. And maybe this is the first time I've ever heard this verse read during a service. But listen, the Israelites are standing on the land of promise. They have just entered into where the Lord has called them. Jericho is right before them. God doesn't give them a battle plan, does he? He doesn't say, "You're going to go and do this right now." Instead, he says, "Stop. We're going to deal with your hearts first." And that's the first truth that each of us needs to grasp this morning. We need to be marked before battle. We must be marked before battle. See, God asked Israel to be circumcised before the battle, not because they needed the physical strength, but because he wanted their hearts to be fully his. He wanted them to understand whose they were. This act wasn't about tradition. It wasn't about physical obedience. It was a sign of belonging. See, circumcision reminded them that they were God's covenant people set apart for his purposes. And the physical sign of circumcision showed that they were part of God's people, but it also pointed to a deeper truth, that God doesn't just want what we do for him, he wants our hearts fully surrendered to him. He wants our hearts to be surrendered to him. See, God cares more about who you're becoming than what you're conquering. The Lord cares more about who you are becoming as a person more than what he cares what you're conquering. Because he wants your heart. He wants your heart. And the good news is that God doesn't ask for surrender without giving us the power to do it. This isn't about earning favor. It's not about earning our way. Instead, it's about responding to his grace in our life. The call to be marked by God today isn't physical. It's spiritual. And it's something only Jesus can do in us. Romans chapter 2 tells us that it's not outward signs that make us God's people, but a circumcision of the heart by the Spirit. Jesus didn't die to fix your behavior. He died to fully claim your heart. So understand today it's a heart issue that we're talking about. And after God marked their hearts, he did something that might seem unusual. Before the first trumpet blast, as they were getting ready to march towards Jericho, God called his people to stop again and remember. Remember what the Lord has done. They weren't just marked, they were reminded. And God told them to celebrate the Passover. Why? Why are they celebrating the Passover after circumcision, right before they go to battle? Because before they stepped into a new promise, they needed to remember the one who brought them out of slavery. What was the Passover? The Passover was when the Lord sent an angel of death over Egypt to kill every firstborn until Pharaoh said, go. We all understand that, right? That was the Lord getting Israel released out of Egypt. And so that is the Passover. And so why is this important? Because we have to remember before you run. We have to remember before you run. See, God called Israel to celebrate the Passover, the meal that reminded them of their deliverance from Egypt. Up until this point, it had been 40 years since the last Passover. A whole generation died in the wilderness. And this new generation needed to know that they weren't just warriors, they were redeemed people, rescued by the blood of the Lamb. Maybe this morning you need to remember that you are a redeemed person rescued by the blood of the Lamb. Remembering what God had done helped them trust for what came next. See, that's why it's important to journal. That's why it's important to know what the Lord has brought us from and what we've seen him do in our lives, because it helps us prepare for whatever it is that comes next. The greatest fuel for forward movement is backwards remembrance. The greatest fuel for forward movement is backward remembrance. And as we remember, we don't just look back at our own story, although our stories tell a wonderful and show the grace of God, but instead we look back at the cross. And who knows that that's where the story of freedom really began, was at the cross. The Passover wasn't just about Egypt. It was pointing to something greater. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 tells us that Jesus is our Passover lamb. So before we step into our battles, before we anchor our hope in the cross, so before we walk into battle, anchor your hope to the cross. See, first God marks them. He marks them, and then he reminds them. And just when they seem ready, something else changes. The manna stops. For 40 years, they had been fed from heaven. But now, God's provision is shifting in their lives. Because the wilderness was just about surviving. But the promise is about growing and establishing. Israel was not established until they crossed in to the promised land to receive the land that the Lord gave them. And we cannot step into the fullness of what God has for us if you're still eating like you're barely getting by. Am I actually talking about food? No, I'm not. If we consume just a little bit every day, we are barely getting by. But if we are all in, fully surrendered, diving headfirst into everything the Lord has us to, he can establish the plan that he has for us in our lives. Our third and final point this morning is grow up and eat. We're all going to do that here in a couple of minutes. But the Lord says to grow up and eat. In Joshua 5:12, Scripture says that the manna stopped the day after they ate from the land. The season of surviving was over. We're done with surviving. And now the Lord is calling them to maturity. He's calling them to growth, to responsibility, to start claiming the land that He had promised them. Here's what the Lord is saying to all of us. He was saying to Israel as well. But I believe it's for each one of us here today as well. You're not who you used to be. Who can testify to that? I am not who I used to be. You are not where you used to be. Come on. And I'm not feeding you like I used to feed you. It's time for something more. See, the provision changed because their position changed. The provision changed because the position changed. And what sustains you in the wilderness won't satisfy you in the promise. So when we walk into the promise of the Lord, we need more of Him. But here's the beautiful thing of all of this. Maturity in the kingdom doesn't come from striving. It comes from staying close to Jesus Christ. Take it back to the cross. Just like God gave Israel the fruit of the land, He has given us the bread of life, Jesus. In John 6, verse 35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." What I need each of you to hear this morning and to understand is that He is enough. He is enough in your wandering. He is enough in the battle that you are fighting right now. He is enough in your grief. He is enough in your addiction. But He won't always feed you the same way. Sometimes we've got to step a little bit further. So following Jesus means this: growing deeper, being hungrier for Him, and finding ourselves forever more rooted in Him every single day of our life. So what do we do with this? What do we do with all of this information? See, God doesn't just bring down walls, and He doesn't bring down walls before He has done a work in His people. So if you have a wall this morning that needs brought down, may I suggest to you that you need to let the Lord do a work in your heart this morning. He wants to do it. See, He marks us before the battle, just like He did Israel. He reminds us before we run. He challenges us to grow before we conquer. It isn't just Israel's story that we're reading about. It's our story. Maybe you've been asking God to move you around. Maybe you've been praying for direction, but you've resisted letting Him. Who knows that sometimes it's hard to let the Lord lead because we don't know where He's taking us. And so maybe you've resisted letting Him move in you. Maybe you've forgotten how far He's brought you because you've never kept memory. You've never written it down. You've never set up those stones to say, this is what the Lord did for us on this day. Pray that the Holy Spirit would recall those moments in your life so you know what He has brought you from, the victory that you walk in. Maybe your faith is running low this morning. Maybe you're still asking God to carry you, but He's asking you to stand. The best illustration I can do of that, when our kids were little, who knows, your kids will someday be too big to carry them. And when they get to that point and they just want to be carried, what do we all say? You can walk, right? Maybe you're asking the Lord to carry you this morning, and He's saying to you, no, you can walk. It's time for you to start walking. The call is simple. Surrender, remember, grow. Let the Lord mark your heart today. Let Him remind you of where you've been, and let Him prepare you for what's ahead. And we're not just here for what happens inside of these walls. We're here to take it outside of these walls. Who knows if that's what we are called to do as a church? I don't care where you call church home. Every church is called to be part of the Great Commission. That's why we exist. To live surrendered, to live sent. And I'm going to say this to our church family: go out and live it out. Engage our community for the Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. I believe that this is more important than it ever has been. Everybody needs an opportunity to respond to the Lord Jesus and what he may be doing in your life. Maybe you're here today and you don't need to take the next step. Rather, you need to take the very first step. Maybe there's a step before you can take that next step. You've been trying to fight your own battles. You've been trying to do it on your own. You've been trying to do it without Jesus leading your life. And today, listen, folks, today you can surrender to your heart to the one who already won the victory for you. Jesus Christ has already won the battle. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead so each of us could have eternal life, new life, real life with him. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're ready to make that decision today, I want to lead you in a short prayer. If you're here with eyes closed and heads bowed, if that's you, would you just raise your hand right where you're at this morning? Is there anybody in the room? Praise the Lord. For the rest of us, for those that already know Jesus, this is your moment to respond as well. It's not just for those feeling the call of the Lord to give their heart to him, but it's our moment to respond. Has God been putting his finger on something in your life that needs to be surrendered to him? Is there anything that he's saying, hey, I'm calling and you're not responding to me? Maybe there's an area that he's asking you to give him and you'd rather just continue to hold on to it. Maybe you've forgotten how far he's truly brought you. And today, he's calling you to remember. Or maybe you sense he's shifting something in you. He's moving things. You know it's time to grow. It's time to mature. It's time to step out of our old ways and into a deeper walk with him. So I just want to encourage everybody here. I realize that we're all from different churches, and maybe this isn't the way you do things. This is how we do things. The altar is open. The altar is open for those who need to come and kneel at the altar to spend time in prayer, to seek his face in this moment. It's not to perform. It's not about performance. It's not to prove anything, but it's simply to meet with God. So let me encourage you this morning. Come, kneel. Come stand. Come pray. Whatever it is, just come. Let him mark your heart this morning. Let him prepare you for what's ahead. Amen.